Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Barbarian.
Dude, it's always time, dude.
It's not time for you to be a contrarian just because.
You know what time it is, though, dude?
What time is it, dude?
It's time for the Who Goes There podcast, episode 127. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
And this is Reed.
Oh, gentlemen, if with any luck, this will be out by Christmas, even though tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
We just got to not record any more episodes until Christmas. That'll do it.
Then we have no choice but to put these out.
Yeah.
That kind of, I mean, that's kind of what you've been doing. Well, not you. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't point at you or say you. We're almost caught up because we've been going more like skip a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then for all of us, for different reasons,
yeah,
we've got two more in the can. I mean, not too long ago, we had five.
And that's not many.
That's not many. We're as close to being current as we have ever been.
Well, recently, anyways. Anyways, gentlemen, how you been?
Pretty good. Been great. We talked about some nifty stuff on the pre-show. I'm going to go ahead and do this on the front end. Thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers and all of the listeners.
Right off the rip.
Thanks for your enduring support during hard times. But if you want to hear the pre-show content, we do we talk about a bunch of other shit every episode, basically. There's also exclusive episodes, and you get the episodes early. Jacob is sending out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, working on the Patreon stuff. I bought some mailers, bubble mailers. I bought one of the wrong size for one of the tiers, so I had to get some different ones. But we're good. Yeah, I'm gonna be sending those out, the $10 and $20 tiers soon, and then I'm just working backwards.
Likely, Michael Sharrow will win for most listened to minutes, unless you can prove yourself otherwise.
Well,
because I know Coop's been listening a lot.
We have to change the entire rubric for Michael and Coop, but I mean, Michael, a listener of ours and a Patreon member, he said, according to his Spotify metrics, he was listening to 15 days this year to this show.
That's a lot.
I think that's more than we've recorded this year.
That's fucking insane. I think it was something like 237 episodes.
That's badass, dude.
So, yeah, thanks. And I'm glad. Of course, we're glad that someone enjoys the show that much.
Yes.
I think we're glad. No, but yeah, that's pretty awesome. But
if we can just get like two or three guys to give us $200 a month a piece.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Then we could have like the most exclusive podcast ever.
Exactly, dude. Just for three dudes.
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. And thanks to everybody.
Tight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do we want to cover on the front end, gentlemen?
Oh, we want to
talk about stuff we watched.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Fuck!
You want me to go?
Yeah, well, go for it, man. And you're not going to hear it unless you do get to Patreon, but Rhett fucking cleaned house with us again on Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yeah, you're not going to hear me clean house on Marvel vs. Capcom. It's like when you watch, if you like watching playthroughs on YouTube but not being able to see it.
Yeah.
That's
what that was. Yeah.
None of us are skilled. Oh, it's pretty dope. Yeah, none of us are good commentators. We're just screaming.
I think it could be pretty good. That's what I think. No, there's people that are just fucking ridiculous at that game.
I want to know how well you fare with
your brother.
Yeah,
Paul.
Asked you. Your brother is like, he's a real one.
We got to get Paul in here for a show, and then fucking
for a show. Does he tell me you've seen him play before? Right.
Yeah. No. He fighting games is like.
Yeah.
He was the top like 100 or 200 in the country for fucking Fight Night round 4.
I know how you crazy. Guys get. I know how you guys get down, dude.
Yeah. He's done fucking tournaments and shit, like it's
It's the Denton brothers, dude. Nothing else.
The Denton brothers.
Their nationality has nothing to do with it.
Have you seen him play Marvel vs. Capcom specifically?
I have at least a couple times.
Does he do air combos?
Fuck. You know, I don't know. I know he does in Mortal Kombat. That's back, for sure. He fucking destroys me.
Back in the day of Wonderland and the Nickel Arcades, and we'd be there with our buddies, loving Marvel versus Capcom, loving our lives, an Asian fellow would come up, and fucking a buddy of ours named Adam, he'd be like, oh, fuck, here comes Game Pro. And fucking...
Jesus Christ,
and Adam. He was fucking right. The guy would come in with, like, Strider... and Juggernaut and some whack ass fucking thing. Like, Strider's dope, don't get me wrong. You could be good with anybody, but he would fucking, like, we could barely get a hit in, and he would just destroy all our characters and have, like, one of his characters, like, 25% down on his meter.
Fuck.
And it was a fucking bummer. And none of us ever took the time to go home with Game Pro and learn those fucking air combos. Every one of those characters, they have a fucking move, a fierce move, where it launches people into the air and you're supposed to capitalize on it.
And you fucking, you juggle them. Yeah,
and that's what your brother does.
Probably.
I have a feeling that's what your brother does.
All right.
I underestimate.
And that's that.
I underestimate him, man. He's about to be 40 and he's fucking still kicking my ass at all the video games, dude.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to go see Chatpile with us in February.
Did he actually do the thing?
He's on the waiting list.
Dope. I'm going to go see. And you, I think you, and then you, if you want to go. We got tickets to Horse the Band.
Yeah?
All right.
What do you mean? How many do you have?
We got 4.
I've never seen Horse the Band. Shoo! But I know you're a big fan. And of course, we've got the Greepster at the Courtyard.
That's going to be silly.
It's going to be fucking... Whew.
That's a cool venue. I didn't know about this little venue thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little... parking lot. It's like a bunch of concrete.
I spend a lot of time in that area with the new job.
Yeah.
They have a pizza place there. Shout out to TNT Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. It was a pop-up that started during the pandemic. It was a guy who worked for Luigi's, which is also great pizza. And he started doing not just the New York style, but also Detroit style pizza. If you've never had Detroit style, it's fucking great.
Is the best.
Isn't it? Isn't it, dude? And then they have the Chicago style. They've also got a lot of vegan options. It's fucking delicious. And
We gotta go to Kaiju Pizza one of these days.
Is that by Petco?
No, it's in National City.
Oh, okay.
In this little like public market thing, it's super dope.
And that's like it's Kaiju, so we gotta go. Anyway,
I'm surprised this dude hasn't gone.
We need to go get some pizzaron.
We do need to go get some pizzaron.
Yeah, it'd
be fun.
It's been a minute. Yeah,
family trip.
We should. All right. I mean, I know we get so busy with work, and Jacob's working. You're crazy hours now, right?
Yeah, most weeks it's 6 days a week. Yeah, just trying to enjoy all the OT while we still can.
How do you feel about Elon Musk and
being the number one Diablo 4 player in the world?
Yeah,
it made me not play the game. No, I'm just kidding.
It's really
not true, dude.
I know. No, he's for sure. He either because you can pay real money for good gear, like on auction houses and stuff, unofficial ones, and or you pay someone to do all the grinding for you. Because, like, I'm not like it's like to get the gear that this guy fucking has. It's like well over like 600-700 hours, and like there's no way on earth he has the time to do that. Obviously,
I'm just gonna say it's so fucking sick that someone has to flex their socio-political. Shit.
Yeah.
Right. The income disparity in the realm. He's already the richest man in the world along with Bezos. Yeah. Right. He can hand out $1 million a day and not fucking feel it for years. And he's got to go to fucking Diablo and like.
Of course, that's his game.
He's right? got to pay money to be the best. It's so fucked. Like, stay away from Diablo, dude. Let the peasants have Diablo.
I know, man.
But it's crazy.
Yeah. Let us have it.
Yeah. Let us have fucking Diablo.
Yeah. But I haven't been playing that, though, honestly, because I've kind of maxed out my character right now for the season. But I've been playing Stalker 2. That just came out. Paul and I have been playing Stalker 2. He's got a lot more time on it than I have. I just recently picked it up. But, you know, the last game, the first Stalker came out 2007, and then there was a couple sequels shortly after. But people have waited a good while for this. And to kind of segue into the movies I've been watching, one of them was, it's called War Game, The Making of Stalker 2. It's like an hour and a half documentary.
I thought you were going to talk about War Games with Mel Robert. Yeah. Would you like to play a game?
The only winning move is not to play.
This dude is deep.
Fuck.
Oh, go on, go on.
No, sorry. It's this documentary, dude. I cried like four times watching it. It is like, because people who don't know, Stalker 2 takes place in the exclusion zone around around the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. And
Chernobyl?
It has really no connection to the movie.
The Tarkovsky movie.
It's like loosely inspired, but but it's a very, it's an action-oriented survival shooter. And you play a scavenger in the exclusion zone trying to hunt for artifacts, which is very similar to Stalker. And there's anomalies and shit that kill you, mutants and other factions that are all warring against each other. And the game has a lot of like freedom, and you have reputation with different factions. It's very open world, and it was revolutionary for its time. The AI for the NPCs were crazy. It's one of my all-time favorite games on PC for first-person shooters. So like this game, I'm like so excited. It's the original developer studio, some of the original developers, and it's made by Ukrainian people in Kiev.
Well, the thing is, look, we're giving the Ukraine a lot of money right now.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. Go on.
Yeah, people fucking died making this game, and like the documentary.
Many buttons died,
dude.
To give us my god, fuck off, man.
Bothans, dude. Yeah.
Jesus fucking, Christ.
This movie got me emotional, like Rogue One, dude.
Rogue One even answered what Bothans were.
Yeah,
they're like, fuck, we gotta do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
dude, yeah, check it out. It's free on YouTube, man. Fucking Stalker 2. Like, the game is the definition of Eurojank. It came out with bugs and all this.
Eurojank?
Yeah, it pretty much almost coined the term. It's the godfather of Eurojank.
I need a new phone.
And
Crankwave versus Eurojank.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I mean, answer.
Eurojank every time. Yeah. No. It's one of those games, though, like, it's so, like, the game is a masterpiece, and if it came polished out the gate, it would be game of the year instantly. Like, it's that fucking good. The game is a borderline masterpiece, and the storytelling is felt so human and raw because of knowing what the developers were going through. Like, they were getting shelled and mortar and artillery fire. Fucking people died. When they had to evacuate the city, some stayed to defend and became soldiers and shit. And while also on their free time doing concept art for the game and shit. Like, it's crazy. So they poured everything into it. They even decided not
to pour everything. Some more than others, dude.
Yeah. They took some it. Not, it's lives. Not for
the
sale.
The ultimate price. Did you ever see When We Were Soldiers, dude?
Fucking, is that Mel Gibson?
What's that thing that they say about the military? All gave some. And some gave all.
What would you do?
That's it.
If you had to give up your dreams for freedom.
Mm.
What would you do? What else?
And then I saw just Wicked, and that was the other one. I think that's the only movie I also saw. And
Wicked,
holy shit! Accordion was very excited when I first saw the trailer. I was like, I mean, it's a musical. Of course, I'll see it with her. You know, she loves the book. I saw the musical on Broadway in New York when I was in middle school.
Wow,
Idina Menzel was Elphaba. And it was fucking crazy. And I didn't have any appreciation for it because my other classmate was a field trip. And the other classmates, they saw Spam a lot. And I was so jealous of that. You know, the Monty Python. Yeah. So I didn't have the appreciation. My mom was like, you fucking ungrateful bastard. You know what I mean? Got to witness that. Mm. And yeah, and then my parents, they're obsessed with it. They've seen the musical multiple times. They read all the books and shit. So I went in with some knowledge, and I fucking was blown away by this movie, man. Like, the making of it, like, seeing, like, how they really wanted to capture the musical. It's not really much of a book adaptation. It's more of just a musical on-screen adaptation.
Absolutely.
All the singing.
Absolutely.
Oh, all the singing is done live. It's all live singing, recording, on set. And everyone did all their own stunts, like Elphaba, all like the fucking crazy string wire stunts.
Whoa.
They fucking planted 9 million tulips for one of the scenes. Like, shit, crazy stuff, man. They
Christopher Nolan's fucking Wicked.
This is, yeah, man.
We could just CGI that.
This, man, felt like the fucking, this is like the Dune part one of musicals, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and then knowing what's going to happen part two or act two, because it's this is just the first half of the story, it's going to get really fucking dark, and it's going to be cool.
Well, yeah, and then I had seen it years ago with my ex-wife at the Civic Center here. So not on Broadway. That's
fucking, and they're bringing it in February. Civic Center here. Are they? I'm gonna go see it with Courtney. Yeah,
and it was great. She loved it, but I wasn't familiar. And you know, I'm not an anti-musical guy. Mm-hmm. I like
Yeah, I don't mind it either.
And then I like Book of Mormon. My dad liked showing me musicals. He liked Barbara Streisand albums. What does that tell you? Okay, but but what the fuck was I?
I don't know that he's an abusive prick.
Hey, wait a minute. But he did show me some good music and some bad music. Mm. Like fucking Andrew Lloyd Webber is not good, but he sure thought it was. You know? Anyway, Wicked, I really enjoyed watching it, and I didn't know what I was getting into when I saw it initially, but then like you start to realize like this, you know, the whole doing it from the villain's perspective. Mm-hmm. Which has been done a few different. They've used that a few times now, mm-hmm. like Maleficent.
And you're all almost that thinking. Shit. You almost wonder if this was like the first.
It kind of. In the 21st century, I think it was very trendsetting that way. And then, so something that struck me, like in the musical, was how well it fit together from her perspective, and all of that, and just the mythic power. Like when you talk about world building, like Oz is fucking pretty dope. Yeah. Like straight up, like it's got some weird shit, mm-hmm. and it does stand the test of time, and there's different things you can do with it. One of them is not that you shouldn't do with it is don't get Sam Raimi to do a movie with bad CGI and James Franco playing Oz. Don't do that. Yeah,
Jeff Goldblum though, he can kind of fuck.
Yeah, this movie fucking. Honestly, I was kind of worried. I knew it was going to be a huge movie either way.
Yeah,
but I was worried from the trailers because the look of it, there's a lot of backlighting, like, and it looked very. I don't want to say synthetic. It looked like a fucking Netflix movie to me a little bit, and it didn't look particularly cinematic. But they didn't show that much in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the movie's 2 hours and 40 minutes, and Sophia and I just fucking were. I was blown away by the movie.
Yeah,
and then like again, like when you talk about like that mythic power thing, like creeps up, and then like, you know, it's part one. They decided to split it into two movies. And
oh, just, like right in half, dude.
Right in half, dude. It's like the first. No. In the musical, there's an intermission, and the movie splits at the intermission after a fucking pivotal moment, and. Dude, they fucking make it so cinematic. It fucks.
It's like the end of The Matrix, dude.
It's like Harry Potter, The Matrix. Yeah. But like also very emotional. And then Ariana Grande fucking nails her comedic timing.
Yeah, Cynthia Erivo's got a fucking set of lungs on her.
And she has to do a lot. I mean, they both have to perform while singing. And by performing, not just singing, but acting.
Yeah.
They both have great character arcs. All that stuff. So, fuck, man. Like, a couple months ago, I wasn't looking forward to Wicked more than Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
Even though I was skeptical about Gladiator 2. Now, neither Jacob or myself have even seen Gladiator 2. We prioritized Wicked.
Yeah.
That tells you how...
You dressed up.
I did. Yeah. It was funny because Sophia's like, oh, I'm going to wear pink. And I was like, and I'll wear green.
We got matching pins. We bought the little... pink and green pins at the theater to support the disabled kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Wicked, and probably a Best Picture nomination among a bunch of others.
Yep.
So what else?
That was it for me.
What else? What else have you watched?
Do you want to go?
I haven't seen shit.
Oh, geez.
There were some movies you forgot to mention in the last episode. You said,
I did. I watched a De Palma movie I'd never seen, Casualties of War.
Okay.
You heard of this?
Heard it, never seen it.
Fuck, that's a rough movie.
Yeah?
It's a rough movie. It's based on a true story in Vietnam, and there's a lot of Vietnam movies, and it's been better regarded with time, but it's a hard watch, and I don't know if I could watch it again. And it's really good. Damn. Sean Penn is fucking amazing in the movie. Michael J. Fox is in it, and he works for his character. And then De Palma does some... fucking amazing. Like, one of the things with the Viet fucking Cong, right? The varmints. No, I'm just kidding. No, they'd set these traps underground and fucking in the jungle. He does a fucking, like, 2D thing where it pans down under the ground and shows them in tunnels with, like, silhouette. And it's fucking so, like wow. It's so dope. Anyway, it's a hard watch, though. And it's I definitely recommend it if you haven't seen it. And it shows an angle of the Vietnam War that, I mean, it should be covered.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Cape Fear, the fucking Scorsese remake.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that shit?
It's a 90s movie, man. I haven't seen it, man. I always wanted to. And... dude. I haven't seen the original either. Yeah.
Yeah. I hadn't seen it since the 90s. Dude, that movie's fucking incredible, honestly. Yeah. And it's like, and Max Cady, that character, which is De Niro, like, that's a fucking, that's an all-time villain right there.
Yeah.
Robert Mitchum did it great in the original one, too. But that's aged really fucking well. Incidentally, they're doing, Apple TV is going to do a series readapting the source material. There's a lot of that now. They're moving on from remakes to readapting the source material, which is a book called The Executioners. Javier Bardem is going to play Max Cady. So the character previously played by De Niro and Robert Mitchum. He's got a pretty good history playing fucking psychopaths. So
yeah,
I look forward to that. Sophia had never seen The Cell.
Weird.
I've been down for a rewatch because Courtney hasn't seen it since she was a kid. And when we first started dating, she was like, "Can you?" I'm trying to remember the name of this movie. And she was describing shit. I'm like, "Oh, that's The Cell."
Yeah. Dude, and I hadn't seen it in probably over 10 years. And she hates Jennifer Lopez. The way we got to this was her talking shit about Jennifer Lopez. And she doesn't like South Park. So her entry to liking South Park was she didn't know Primus did the theme song. Because inexplicably, Sophia really likes Primus. And and then I showed her the Jennifer Lopez taco flavor kisses. And then,
taco, taco.
Yeah, she had no idea it was so fucking intelligent. What? but and then somehow it segued to The Cell because she likes serial killer movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, long story short, like visually the movie's got its strengths. Tarsum, I haven't seen The Fall, which is supposed to be good.
That's a dope ass movie.
That's what I've heard. And they're doing a lot of like Frida's, the Frida Cinema's having it. The one here, Digital Gym, is having like, there's a lot of this resurgence of The Fall, Tarsum's follow up to that movie.
Oh, shit.
Anyway. Yeah, I like the movie, and it's got its weaknesses with the script, but visually and conceptually, I fucking love that. I think she's fine in the movie. Who's not fine in that movie is Vince Vaughn. That fucking guy, like, that was the lost years. That's when they were trying to cast Vince Vaughn as Norman Bates in a Psycho remake.
Yeah.
Putting him in the cell.
Swingers?
Swingers and Maid.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, no, go back to the comedy. Go back to that. Watched a couple Coen Brothers movies because both she and I are really enjoying those movies. Barton Fink, which I'd seen once before.
Fantastic flick. It's
fucking amazing. That's like them at their most surreal. That's definitely like a writer's movie. We really enjoyed that. I hadn't watched O Brother, Where Art Thou since it came out. And she liked it a lot more than I did. I know it's adapting Homer's Odyssey and all that. Something I didn't talk about last episode and I need to talk about real quick. Because I saw this trailer for a movie coming out in January with fucking Ice Cube's son and Gerard Butler, who makes some straight up trash.
Yep.
And it was called Den of Thieves 2 Pantera. And we're just laughing, Sophia and I, in the theater, like, what the fuck are we, what are we looking at? And I didn't know there was this like sleeper hit in 2017 called Den of Thieves. Long story short, dude, this is like a Fast and Furious plus Heat ripoff.
Yeah.
Like, it's a total ripoff. Mm-hmm. And, like, fucking East County dudes love this shit.
100%.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen the movie all. I've seen, like, 60%
of it.
Your
dad has,
because of my parents watch it, like, twice a year.
Dude, I gotta say, there is some really efficient stuff in the action scenes. Mm-hmm. Particularly with the photography of the cars and stuff. I'm not talking about... I know that sounds really bad. No, but I mean, like, the... how it moves around space and stuff. But anyway, I'm fucking super excited. My birthday's in January, so I always get these trash movies. It's my birthday week. My birthday week, Den of Thieves 2 comes out. God. The same week that Sophia and I are going to see Collective Soul in Palm Springs.
That's fucking, I like, as like a fan of Collective Soul, I'm questioning this decision.
Dude, and it was like $170.
God damn.
Not each ticket, but we're going. It's a casino in Palm Springs after Den of Thieves 2
Pantera. Is it Palma Casino?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like living a fucking... That's a hell of a week right there.
Yeah. You're telling me after the rivalry of those two characters, they decided to just team up in the sequel?
Dude, even just having watched the first one now, it's like, this is so dumb.
They're doing like the Dragged Across Concrete. He's like, you know what? I never... Well, they never paid me, so...
It's also like, the bad guys. Paul Walker? I get it, dude. It's same shit. That whole Tyson versus Paul fucking thing happened. We don't need to go that deep into it.
Yeah.
But it was a fucking circus of the highest order. The first two fights were fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
By the way. But it got me really wanting to watch. Sophia and I were watching these old boxing matches because I liked boxing quite a bit at one time.
It was big in my household, being half Filipino. You can imagine that was a huge thing. Yeah.
YouTube's great. Well, duh. YouTube's great. if you want like anti-vaxxers, no. Fucking,
wow.
We're watching old Joe Lewis and Rocky Marciano fights and stuff. And When We Were Kings is this documentary, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman fighting in Africa in 1974. And it's one of my favorite documentaries. It's fucking, it's an amazing film. It's on Netflix. Anyway, Sophia had never seen The Florida Project. Writer-director, what's the name? I forget real
Sean
quick.
Sean Baker.
Sean Baker. Also did Tangerine.
Fuck, I did see that one too. The movie about this. Yeah.
Did you saw it?
Anora? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, and so he's got a new one out, Anora, which is currently, I don't know if it still is, but it was the front runner for Best Picture. I enjoyed it. I think it's good.
You said it's below Florida Project though for you.
For me, yeah.
Okay. For me, it's tied. It's hard for me to beat Florida Project also. Yeah. Especially the ending of Florida Project. It's fucking crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
This one had a great ending. Yep. He's great with his endings.
He is. He really all his of
final
them.
Scenes.
Mm-hmm. This was go ahead.
Well, no, it's well acted, it's well written, it's pretty, I don't want to say straightforward because it's very nuanced, he always is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sophia was not a fan, she didn't like the long drawn out scenes of people yelling at each other, but I'm like, well, that's kind of what it would be like.
It's like you know? It's like uncut gems but like way safer and more comforting because it's like, it feels like what you would expect a real like mobster thing happening. Like there's not crazy hits or action.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking shit show, you know?
Yeah.
And something about Sean Baker, he knows how to get good supporting actors.
Oh, absolutely.
Like absolutely. The guy who plays, I think, was it Toros or what's the guy's name? It starts with a T. The babysitter essentially.
Yeah.
That guy, he apparently, I guess he's in all of his movies as a side character. And now he has got like this most prominent role in this one. He fucking carried half that movie.
Yeah, with facial expressions and just quiet moments. All that stuff. He's great with that. Mm-hmm. And it's a great role, obviously, for, is it Mikey Madison?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he wrote the role for her. So, and she was like relegated. She was in the Scream Legacy sequel and stuff like that.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting, too. They all made out. Like, Margaret Qualley, Mikey Madison,
like
they all showed up in that movie, and they fucking—I don't know what's up with Tarantino.
They got set up though.
He looked at life. Their feet, and he's like, "You're gonna be good.
You're gonna be good in this industry."
So we like that. I saw Real Pain, which is
I wanted to see that.
Jesse Eisenberg, written and directed, but this movie is a fucking showcase for Kieran Culkin. Fucking dope.
I love that little homie.
And I don't think it doesn't have as much going on with like because the thing about Sean Baker is he's really good with technical stuff, but it doesn't feel technical. But like if you're like looking at it, you're like, damn, this is actually hard to pull off. So it's not like that, right? But the character moments and the humor, I actually preferred A Real Pain to Anora.
Wow.
Kieran Culkin is fucking great.
Yeah.
I love the ending. So,
he's a great fucking actor, man.
Yeah. His brother is... no, I'm just kidding.
also... Not bad.
He's also not bad. Is he? Is he okay now?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't care.
I don't care.
There's a thing on... I do care. Who doesn't care about Macaulay Culkin? What I mean is I'm not actually judging Macaulay Culkin. Like, poor guy. I mean... Now, Jake Lloyd, I'll fucking judge him. You know what I mean? Because... but... Stanford Prison Experiment, there's a new documentary on Hulu. I love that shit. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
You watched nothing, Jorge?
Pretty much nothing.
You watched fucking, you said something, Children of Men.
Oh, that was like last episode.
But you didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Tell us why it's fucks.
It's just Children of Men.
Tell us why it's one of the best films of the 20th
century. It is one of the best films of all time. Hands down.
Tell us about the scene where they show the
fucking... Why don't you tell us?
They show a fucking, like, these smokestacks, and it looks like a cover of the Pink Floyd Animals album, but they're playing in the court of the Crimson King. And it's like, who cares? Well, meanwhile, the rest of the movie's fucking perfect. And so when that happens, that fucks! And they got that scene in the car with the fucking... I mean, that shit is crazy. And you guys hating on Gravity? Too much. Hell Alfonso Cuarón...
You know what Gravity needed more? Huh. Fucking xenomorphs, dude.
Yeah, for real. Oh,
they needed to plug the hole of the ship with the fucking elevator.
You know what Gravity needed, dude? Somebody say, like, one step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That would have been rad.
Hell yeah.
Who's the guy in Gravity who dies in the beginning?
George Clooney.
It was George Clooney. And then that fake bullshit where he's like, I'm on the outside of the ship. Let me in. Fuck off, bro. Ugh.
So you think Alien Romulus is better than Gravity?
I do think that. Like,
life is better than Gravity.
You know what? I forget, too. I want to bring it up again. Ad Astra. That was also not your thing, right?
No, man.
That movie fucks.
I love that movie.
We talked at length about that on Instagram.
He's texting me. He's all, Moon Pirates. I was like, that fucks.
Not good. Not good.
Disagree. Love it.
You would.
I would. You're right. I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Take a break.
We'll be right back. We're fucking back, dude.
We're back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're fucking back. You right over there?
Yeah.
All right. We're
back. Are you going to have some whiskey, Jacob?
Maybe a tiny bit, but, you know, I got to drown my sorrows from getting my ass kicked constantly. Oh, come
on. Thrice, no less.
Oh, you still like Thrice, dude?
I do like Thrice, actually. God
damn.
You're not a fan at all.
I haven't listened to him in years. It might be different now. Probably not.
But you're not a fan.
Like, you like Taproot, dude?
No, I don't like Taproot.
I thought those were like the same back then. I was like,
oh, what?
They're all like the fourth tier bands like this. They all suck.
Damn. That's fucked, dude.
It is. They're not the same. Thrice has like a real classic album, supposedly, right?
They've got a couple.
That's what I've heard.
That's what I've heard, he says. Damn. Well, the Who Goes Your Podcast watched a little film called Smile 2, a sequel to Smile 1, presumably, starring Naomi Scott, Rose Marie DeWitt, Lucas Gage, Miles Gutierrez Riley, Peter Jacobson, Ray Nicholson, Dylan Galula, Raul Castillo, Kyle Gallner,
yeah.
Drew Barrymore for like 30 seconds, which is pretty dope,
mm-hmm.
and some other folks in this movie. You don't need a plot. It's Smile 2. You've probably already seen this, right? Probably.
A lot of our Discord people, maybe not a lot, but a few, a surprising amount to me, have not seen the first or the second one.
Wow.
Apparently. Or just at least, like, I'm thinking of our Lord Hans, the Lord of our Patreon.
Yeah.
You know, posting little things from a rewatch of Smile I did recently in preparation for this. And he's like, you definitely piqued my interest. What is this? And mm-hmm. it's like, Hans?
Because the first one was a surprise for all of us.
Definitely.
Yeah. There was no shot that it was going to be good, and then it was surprisingly decent.
We talked trash I'll use I statements. I think we did too, but for months because of that trailer.
Yeah, it looked like some Bye Bye Man shit, you know.
Epitome of, like, it's not Blumhouse, but it looked like the epitome of, like, a bad Blumhouse horror movie.
Yep. And then we were pleasantly surprised.
Parker Finn, first movie, right?
I think so, yeah.
That was his debut, writer-director.
Written and directed by Parker Finn, and he's back.
He's back!
For number two.
And is it a sophomore slump? Was the first one a fluke? How did it go?
Fuck. Yeah. So this movie surprised, I don't want to say surprised the hell out of me, but I, you know, it's, you see the first one and how much of a surprise that was. Like when you do a sequel and it's doing the whole bigger and grander, wider in scope, you're dealing with a huge pop star, and it looks like it's got this nice fresh coat of paint on it. And, it doesn't look like it's going to work, just from the premise alone, especially when you fucking watch a movie like Trap the same year, you know?
Lady Raven, dude.
Yeah. So you kind of got that. You got a pop star protagonist, and you're like, uh-oh, not again. But no, I personally think this movie is leaps and bounds better than the first movie. And I'll have some criticisms that I make a big deal out of it, even though technically they're small criticisms, you know, in comparison to everything I liked about it right off the bat. And we can get into more details because I'd like you guys to jump in too. But the fucking right away, the opening sequence is fucking one of the best movie moments of the year and for horror. It's a one-shot scene with Kyle Gallner because this takes place 9 days after, I think 9 days after the events of the first movie, something like that. 6 days?
After the cabin.
Yeah, so
turn that nine upside down.
Oh, there you go. That's the issue, dude. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of cameras going upside down in this movie. Speaking
of which.
So that's probably what happened. So
that's the sign of a good horror movie in 2024, dude. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, going upside down, aerial.
And rotating, though.
Rotating drones, dude. Sniper drones. Well,
the thing is, dude, when you have a character frowning and you go upside down, the frown turns into a smile.
Dude. Oh, there it is, dude. That's it. So it's
some mirrors, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go on. No, you're good. Like you wonder the whole time, like, where is this movie going to go? Because you've seen the big reveal at the end of the first movie, and how are they going to one up it and all that? And this movie takes a premise that you'd feel like so many audience members would not give a shit about, and it's a pop star protagonist, but the way they deal with it in a very raw thing with her PTSD and how you're entering this character right at like some recovery stage at this like mental breakdown, this part of her life she went full on like. I don't know, like Britney Spears kind of moment, you know, like, and it's very traumatic. And the way they portray it, like, we're talking about some of the most original just scares and jump scares and sequences I've seen all year. And that's what I want. I want really fresh shit. And me, I immerse myself a lot in these horror movies. I like to get scared. And this is one of those films where I'm on the edge of the seat for like 80% of it because I'm like, I can't, you know, relax my shoulders. I'm unsure when I'm going to get hit with something hard. And that's what this movie does. And it's very creative. And, you know, it's a good Voss Water commercial.
Mm.
Yeah.
Although not explicitly. I was kind of like, oh, okay, they're not, you know, it's subtle.
She likes, look, here's the thing.
They wrote it in
She's got her fucking brand. Okay? She's a rich bitch. She's not going to have no fucking other type of water.
It's true.
It's like me.
No, it didn't help when I saw Anora and she cracked open a Voss Water in that movie right after. And I saw a double feature of both of them.
Good movies, Voss Water.
Yeah.
Shit. But no, overall, it's fucking fantastic. And seeing Alec Guinness do something at the end with the practical effects and doing one of the biggest animatronic
that he's done in years
since
right?
the Queen Alien.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was ADI that did this and it's fucking.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was a tidbit I had wanted to research. But yeah, that was the
overall thing fucking wow. I was blown away. Just great set pieces and shit like that. Sequences, all of it.
So better than Romulus.
I'm just going to say no.
What? You don't need to say that.
It's fucking fantastic, dude. I want to see it again really soon. Yeah, I need to. I was meant to watch it again before recording.
So better than... No, I'm just kidding. I'm
it's so far, I think it might be in my top three right now, currently.
That's pretty good. You're looking at me.
Well, I mean, you watched a unique version of the film.
So. What do you mean a unique version? When you say that, what are you saying? I want to hear this.
The movie is out to rent on digital.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. It is now, and it will soon be available on Paramount. I shouldn't say soon, but eventually, because it's a Paramount production.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'm waiting for you. What's unique about it?
I believe it's called a torrent, and it was a poor quality one.
No, it was a 4K rip.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think maybe your internet shit. You couldn't fucking stream it.
Yeah, this is a 5.1 4K rip, my man.
He had just the shit internet. He couldn't stream it in high quality.
I saw you were. They don't give a fuck about this.
Is this what you were upset about? Because
I wasn't upset. I was trying to help.
You saw like a YouTube video quality, and you were like, "What is he doing?"
A little bit.
Nah, dude. This was
not a little bit. I watched because I saw you had.
Oh my god!
I saw you had 1 hour and 20 minutes left because I was trying to watch it again today for free on Plex.
Yeah,
which is same deal.
Yeah,
because I saw it in theaters and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, I go on there, and I see you're in the middle of it, so I don't want to interrupt, because I know you're watching it, and you're doing your chunk thing. So it's still a unique version of the film, right?
Because that's how I watch everything,
You watch though. It like it's a fucking sitcom or
something. Yeah.
Like, yeah. But that's how you watch everything. You're in the middle of your workday, you're looking at a sandwich while you're listening to it, like it's a radio show.
Yeah. Or here for 20 minutes when I can.
Did you put headphones on?
I've got headphones on for everything, or here at the house. I mean, it's...
So I put this shit on, and eventually, to see, you know, how it looks, and it looked like fucking, like, a DVD you'd buy from a barber, like a bootleg one in 2001.
Yeah, your shit was still buffering
when you came to that conclusion. Like, is he watching this like this? And that's why I said I rented it.
This is what it looked like for me.
Oh, damn. Then you good. I'm glad. See, this is the thing about perspective. And I wasn't mad. I was literally like, if you want to watch a fucking better version of the movie. Mm-hmm. But yes.
So, anywho.
I worked real hard on this movie. I just want to make sure.
I think I like it more than the first. And I think I like it more than the first because of its ability to get bigger. The scope got a lot bigger, but the movie doesn't feel overly wrought. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of small moments in this film, especially dealing with her trauma and the build up to you finding out sort of how that unfolds. I think it's both a more grand movie and also a smaller movie at the same time, which I like. I also really like the fact that for lack of a better word, the haunting is completely different than in the first one. Mm-hmm. Like the demon or whatever it is doesn't do it's not doing the same bit. What are you doing there, Danny? The demon doesn't do the same trick twice in a row is what I really dig.
Yeah, that was the demon right there.
That's the devil himself, dude.
Amigo the devil.
But yeah, I think, I need to do a lot of catch up before we do the year-end wrap-up. I've got like 5 or 6 that I need to watch like ASAP. But I do think this is in at least top 5 so far for me personally.
Yeah, for me it was a big psych.
You should have gone a little bit longer.
I know I couldn't, and I wasn't gonna do it at all. But when you ended, I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But it's either top 3 or top 5 for me. I liked it better than the first film overall. Like as aforementioned, the first one was a big surprise. This movie doubles down on this very stylish, very well constructed. Like scenes and different set pieces. Like Jacob mentioned, the intro is fucking incredible and it sets the pace and it connects to the first film. And what it really does though for me is the thematic elements. It expands from the suicide and vicarious trauma stuff of the first film. And this kind of relates to what Jorge was saying too right now, to addiction, to grief, which we've seen a lot of in horror films in the last 10 years, but this is a different film. Survivor's guilt, and then just guilt, because she doesn't have just survivor's guilt. She's also kind of directly responsible.
Yeah, she also murdered somebody.
Yeah. Living for the expectations of others, fame, celebrity worship, and trauma on this, like, macro scale, while also being a very fucking great showpiece for Naomi Scott, she was not like a name I knew before this movie.
Mm-hmm.
No. I knew she was like Jasmine in the Aladdin movie, Guy Ritchie's Aladdin movie.
What? Really? That's her?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And she fine. No, but look, she does an incredible Sousy Bacon had done a great job in the first one. And she does an incredible fucking job in this. And it's actually her character arc goes from triumphantly. She's trying to do this triumphant return to stardom while still reeling from trauma, and she's in early recovery. And then she gets further exposure to that stuff.
And then you got these manifestations of her physical, emotional pain. Then you got cognitive and temporal distortions. Then she starts blaming everyone. It's just a great character arc.
And you and when you list all that stuff, like, it sounds like this movie is going to be overstuffed. It's going to be like, it's not.
Right.
It's really evenly paced out.
Yeah. Yeah. It expands thematically, and you get more, for lack of a better word, it starts to actually include more of the mechanics of what the demon does. Mm-hmm. There's more, the temporal distortion thing. You're getting more into
where else
it can go. Also, for lack of a better word, for the lore of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's doing more world building and still a character piece and thematically broader.
Yeah.
And shit, what are we talking about here? Execution. It's got like 7 or 8 set pieces.
Well, and they're
all fucking amazing.
It's incredible. It's actually incredibly violent. I was surprised at how often it actually got to points where I was like, well, this is seriously gory.
It's pretty disturbing, and I'm so glad Courtney got up to use the restroom during the flashback sequence of the aftermath of her car accident, because Courtney has severe PTSD from a horrific car accident she survived from with her mom behind the wheel and stuff, and it's like she can't do car stuff at all. Like, she's already nervous getting into my car every time, you know, for the 8 years we've been dating. It's like just a huge thing, trigger, like just like constantly on the freeway, on edge. And dude, I'm so glad she missed some of those scenes and I had to close her eyes during some parts, because it's like, this is a movie where if you can't handle car accident stuff, like, this is the worst of the worst.
Well, Naomi Scott is doing some of the best emoting of just pure, I guess, like, rage crying that I've ever seen.
It's fucking wrenching.
It's like serious. Florence Pugh it's level.
Everything that, that they were trying to do at the end of The Mist. You know?
That was my joke, dude.
I do. That's why I said, I was going to say it in the text, but then I was like, let's see what happens. We'll just drop this right here.
There are moments in the first 20 minutes where you're like, dude, this movie is like, it fucks. Like one, obviously the opening, but like just a jump scare in the form of just a flashback sequence of her ripping out her hair and sobbing.
Yeah.
And the way it just shocks the audience, you're like, this movie is dark as fuck.
No, when you're talking about the gore, like, again, that it from the intro too, because there's a bunch of, it's very unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't really know where it's going to go, because it kept having fucking ideas. And in between the major set pieces, all the connective stuff in between these small moments, like, she fucking nailed, she has to carry a lot, but it's also very well constructed and very well written. Like, all of the connective stuff in between hits for different things. There's different unsettling things in between the really gory moments. And then, like, when you talk about the jump scares, a lot of people roll their eyes like, oh, jump scares. I mean, this like, honestly, kind of like a fucking embarrassment of display of skill here with the sound design, the score, Tapia, what's his name? Tapioca? No, I'm just kidding.
Tapioca, yes.
What is this guy's name? It's the guy who wrote the score for the first one. He's back. He also does the score. Damn.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Cristobal Tapia De Vere. He's a Canadian composer. He also does the score for that show, The White Lotus, which has real interesting atmospheric music.
Him. Yeah, I love that score.
Yeah, and the sound design, I mean, dude, like, the jump scares, just as important for your visual stuff and your scene composition and your timing, is the sound. Mm-hmm. And like, it's perfectly, I mean, it's a perfect execution for that stuff.
Yeah, it's layered with the music and everything.
And it's so gory, and it gets like, it's gets unsettling because it's kind of relentless at parts. And then it's also got this real fun, like, funhouse feel with the tone. Like, even though it's still dark, it's still very funhouse. So for me, like, it kind of makes the stuff not as heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And also the stuff that would be corny, like people saying dumb shit, like, I kind of, it almost feels like, yeah, they're dumb.
Even the dance scenes don't come across
cringy
at all.
Yeah,
I was not that I want to make the comparison between the two, but I was getting like Substance kind of vibes when they were doing, you know, these dance scenes and everything, and you know, her hurting herself and everything. I was really surprised at how not irritating those scenes were. And the celebrity worship stuff didn't feel silly. And it's a small thing, but the fact that she's using an actual iPhone and it's an iPhone
to me, like, it adds
probably the biggest thing.
Well, no, what I mean is that, like, it adds a little bit of more of grounding to it, because you're like, they're not taking some shitty phone and making a shitty skin of it. They're using a phone that is familiar, so, you know, all of it feels very grounded.
Yeah, it's a good balance of feeling grounded, feeling like Funhouse, feeling very gory, also having a lot of psychological. It's psychological constantly. Mm. The stuff too, like it's such like a thrill ride type deal that it's easy, I think, to miss a lot of the smaller details. You know, like, in the first movie, you had that whole malevolent mother thing. Like, remember the form that it took at the end? In this one, it's her.
With the long hair, the flashback. Yeah,
yeah, it's her dual self. So it's got some, like, perfect blue DNA in here, some fucking black swan stuff. It's the shadow, dude. You know, and then again, it's like, instead of just the vicarious freaking trauma and suicide, you've got addiction and grief and guilt. And so, and it goes with that. Like, it expands all that stuff. So, like you were saying, Jacob, when I saw the preview, I was actually real hopeful. Mm-hmm. That it would do this stuff that it does.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would do this much.
Yeah.
I really didn't think it would do this much with it and this well. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that is so fucking creative. You mentioned being creative. She's got her friend over with her, and she's sleeping with her in the bed.
Oh, dude. That's talking about the jump scare?
The jump scare.
That fucking, my heart leapt out of my chest, man. That shit fucked me up in Dolby.
And it comes out of the first part of the flashback with her. We see her post the accident in the car flashback and the real wrenching scene we mentioned. Mm-hmm. Then it cuts back to her in the bed. Then it gets spooky because of the conversation. And then, like, yeah, her friend's face turns into a fucking
headlights.
And it's like surreal fucking horror. Like, it's like David Lynch, but with like a big budget in a studio film, you know? Like, that's what it reminded me of. It's like the psychological part of it, but more just like in your face.
Yep. Yeah, very effective, man.
Yeah.
That shit's, what did you think of the whole, like, red light, green light kind of scene with all the people in her?
Oh, dude, that's ambitious. It's brilliant because it plays to what she knows, right? So at this point, like, she's full in the possession, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it keeps it familiar while being sort of otherworldly at the same time. It's a fantastic little scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like the fifth or sixth major, I don't want to say major set, but big set piece in the movie. And then they feel different. All the kills feel different. Mm-hmm. The guy smashing the weight in his face. And again, too, it doesn't matter that you and I go to a lot of movies in the theater, Jacob.
Yeah.
And we see these trailers on over again.
I know, and you got sick of that scene, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, and I got sick of seeing the smile in the fucking mirror, but I knew once I see that, dude, like, the timing of the smile in the mirror is way fucking different in the movie than the trailer. Mm-hmm. It's way faster. And then there's another one right after it. Like, it keeps pulling the rug out. The weight thing, like, in his face, like, it keeps going fucking harder.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't cut away, and it shows it, and it looks great. Like, it looks practical.
Yeah.
Even though there's some CGI
there. The gore with that, there's some smash cuts to, like, one of the characters, like, my brother killed himself. And then it just smash cuts to a scene with him prying off his fucking jaw with a crowbar.
Which is dope.
And I'm like,
that's super fun.
And there's no, like, music cue or anything.
It's just right to it.
Just right to it. And you're like, I can't believe I just saw that. Like, it's fucking, it's an assault on the senses.
It's an assault. It grabs you by the throat and doesn't let go. Yeah. There's the perv Asian fan with the skin disease.
That was great.
Yeah. That was great because she sees him in her place later, naked.
Yeah.
And then smiling at her like Hereditary style. And then running after her. And then, again, we get this temporal distortion stuff. Her friend shows up. It's been an hour's gone by. Yeah. It makes it fucking interesting because of that thing. You got the unreliable. I sound like globalist. Wait, can you do the Alex Jones thing?
I can't right now.
Unreliable. Unreliable narrator. That's more like Macho Man,
I guess.
The I gotta fucking say, dude, the absolute disaster I have in capital letters of the charity dinner. Like, because we're not just doing, and then
yeah,
they've gone gory as fuck. They got more body horror in this one. And you mentioned The Substance. It is kind of, it's got a lot of thematic elements that are similar to The Substance as far as like expectations of others and fame.
Yeah.
And these social obligations and how you're supposed to act.
Yeah.
And body horror.
Yeah. You got every type. It's like checking off the box of every type of, you know, horror scene and jump scare you can do. And this movie just doesn't ever repeat itself. It does like one of each. And then one of them is like the social horror. You're just cringing in exactly. your fucking seat. And I'm like, I'm glad it touched on that too. You get a little bit of everything. The whole movie's a fucking feast.
Yeah, because the social thematic elements, like you're saying, Jacob, they wouldn't work if you didn't actually have a scene with just that. And they do that. Mm-hmm. Like in the first one, I remember being surprised off the fucking immediately.
Yeah.
But then like I was still like, okay, let's see where this goes. Once it got to there's a birthday party she goes to in the first one.
This is that version.
And she gives the kid a fucking dead cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like I'm like, you know what, I'm in. And then she falls on a glass table and has fucking glass in her arms, like Fight Club in front of all these people.
And then her baby's head gets sheared off.
And then, and then that happens. And then there's a kid watching her outside freak out in a fucking car, which is hilarious. But also it's making the point about vicarious trauma because he's being introduced to all this stuff. And anyway, yeah, like you're saying, this is that version.
Mm-hmm.
This is this movie's version of that. Like, where's the big scene where it just gets so fucking uncomfortable?
Yeah.
And it does almost like the pacing's almost like she's already hallucinating, saying the crazy shit up there. She's got her lipstick smeared like the substance deal. And then it's weird, the parallels. Yeah. And then she fucking like flails her arm back and knocks a fucking old lady into a table.
A table. That was great.
And I'm just like, this is fucking fantastic, dude. Yeah. You know, what else can you do but laugh when that happens? So, I mean,
another dead old white bitch.
And then she's got a talking head shirt on. I mean, what more do you need? She drinks Voss water. Oh, when she drinks that Voss water, too, she's like,
she's doing it aggressively.
They write it into the script. They're like, oh, it's part of the meditation or therapy of it.
Well, and then even Sophia, we were rewatching it, and she's like, is that true? I'm like, is what true? Like, what did you hear? You know, because I heard what they said. What did you hear? Because she says that, like, my rehab counselor tells me it's about having control over certain things. But absolutely, it's like it's an idea of replacing behaviors, which isn't going to be enough in itself. But it's the idea of like, I have fucking control over this.
Yeah.
And so I can drink this water anytime. But she drinks it like a fucking, like
she's
like
slugging down vodka.
Fucking exactly. Like three times in the movie she does it.
Well, and then there's a movie. It's a movie where there's a lot of like retching and like, whoop, whoop, and it makes sense because it's like we're getting more into the body horror. And I think it's like small. It's like mouth. Like it's mouths. And it's like guttural stuff.
Yeah.
And you got all those sound effects. Before she sees any fucking visual manifestations, she keeps hearing those noises.
Mm-hmm.
Like all that gushing noises and things.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that was my fucking pussy in the movie.
It was, huh? How come you didn't go to the theater, dude?
No time, brother. No time.
Yeah. What else? Oh. This idea, too, that people are trying to... It's expanding the fucking lore, right? People are trying to trick it now to skip them, basically, right?
Yeah.
Like, which was hinted at in the first one with the guy who was in jail.
So there's two ways. One is die and come back to life, right? And the other one was what Kyle Gallner was kind of doing.
Yeah.
About
somebody else needs to witness a murder. Killing.
Yeah.
The brutal killing.
And that's what I like about this movie, too. They don't... Thank goodness they keep everything flowing and moving. They don't retread like exposition that much. It's very much quicker.
Yeah, there wasn't like a discovery scene where they're like, okay, we got to go to the prison now to find out.
There's a whole second act.
You're not hearing this shit again.
Yeah, the whole second act is her retreading, going backwards, and it's like, I'm glad they didn't do any of that in this.
Yeah.
Which worked in the first one because it was just lore building, but in this one, we don't need the lore built much more. We just need to know that there's maybe another solution for this problem,
yeah.
And it ain't working either.
Mm-hmm.
one of the notes I have here, when she's initially at the beginning trying to, she's got back pain, right? And I like those little details too, because she's in early recovery, but she's got physical pain.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting thing, because it's always like, it's hard, you know, like how do you approach chronic pain as someone in recovery? And for a lot of people, it can be the doorway for justifying fucking use. Mm-hmm. But for other people, you're going to need to take something for chronic pain. So it's a very personal decision. Anyway, she can't get prescribed it. So she ends up calling her dealer, her friend, you know, the guy who smashes the weights into his face.
Yeah.
When she's texting him though, did you see how, do you remember what it texts back? It's like, who is this? Sorry, who is this? And she's like, Sky Riley. It texts back the fucking happy face, the smiley face with the star eyes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's like, because when she gets there, he doesn't remember doing the text. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the fucking demon sending her the smiley face emoji. What she wants
to see.
What is great that he's using emojis. Like, it's using the smiley face star emoji.
I gotcha.
Like, it goes so good with the fucking, like you said, it grounds it, but it's like, it's so like thematically sound because it's fucking called Smile. What else we got here?
You want to jump a little bit to the ending?
Yeah, what's up with the ending?
So the ending, they really, I personally, and I'm curious what you guys would want with this franchise. Would you want it to kind of end here? Because it ends on a big note, and it really opens it up, for a sequel. You can't help but think about a sequel being absolute carnage.
Well, yeah, because at that point, right, so many people have witnessed this suicide, for lack of a better word, that everyone's infected, presumably, right?
Yeah.
Well, and that's why going, it kind of goes like fucking with the emoji, like, why is it so happy that it's Sky Riley? It's like, that's a great platform. Like, that'll be fucking great if
it probably planned it from the beginning. That's why it fucked with her and kept her safe all the way up until her show.
That's why when I saw, you were saying you were skeptical about the premise. Mm-hmm. I saw the premise, like, as soon as I heard the premise, I'm like, oh, like, they're probably going to where this goes at the end. And then I was getting to the movie, I didn't know if it was going to, and then it did it. And it
was because they set you up like it's not heading that way at all.
Yeah.
And then it actually does.
And it does, but... So
well, like at the end where the mom is alive and you're like, oh, so it was really fucking with her. Oh.
Yeah, there's no, I don't want to say no way to tell. I'm sure there's some like way to unlock what was there and what wasn't. But it's that whole unreliable narrator thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's also a little bit of a relief, strangely. Like, it doesn't matter either way. She's fucked. But it's like, oh, she didn't kill her mom.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, because that's not how...
You sympathize with her more,
that's though. Not how the demon operates, right? Like, it just wants to torture the person it's infected, not kill people.
Yeah.
At least, you know, through the mission, I guess.
Yeah. But freaking... the question you asked, though, Jacob, like... It's kind of like one of those things where do you go from here?
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand. On the other hand, like... I trust in what I've seen so far that this gentleman is not out of ideas with this.
Yeah.
And it was successful enough, which I'm glad about, to warrant another one monetarily, but that's a separate issue. Mm-hmm. But what would it look like? What it does though too is it grounds it a bit too, in the sense that there are fucking, it makes you think about the psychological reality of macro trauma. Like, you know, 9/11, the most viewed fucking incident in human history. Not because there was, simply because of the technology was there for the most people to see it over and over and over and over again. That's mass trauma, right? Like, that's what it does. That does something, the same way it does things to an individual, it'll do it to the entire species, like an organism. Mm. Like, it's mass trauma. So we have these collective moments of mass trauma already, dude.
Oh. Over and over again, dude.
Over and over. Much fucking worse. Much worse.
Mm. Yeah.
Substantially worse than a fucking pop star dying on stage. Whoa, that's what I didn't like, though. To the two things I didn't like. The microphone.
Yeah, the actual final microphone thing, right?
Like, come on, man. She shoves it in her face.
No. Yeah, they wanted to play it off where you don't see the act. You see everyone's reactions. And then I didn't notice, but Courtney was like, yeah, some of those, extras in the crowd, like some of them were laughing.
I didn't like, that's what I'm, that's, it's which a, I think was intentional, but yeah, it was like, cause you got to nail the scene.
Yeah.
You got to nail, like, you got to be, like, meticulous, like,
you're, fucking you, Kubrick. You got, scene. Like, 500 13-year-olds you got to wrangle together for this one scene. Like, is are they going to nail it?
And yeah.
It's like, eh.
And no. I, after seeing all this stuff, like, I get, like, you're saying, like, I would have liked to see her shove the fucking thing in her face. Because also, I have an issue with the physics of this. Like the physical reality of this. Can you shove a fucking microphone into your face like that?
It probably wouldn't look like how it did at the last shot.
I'm just having, because I'm not seeing it, so I'm imagining it, and I'm imagining trying to do it, and it would break.
You would need something. Yeah, I feel like you would need something to hammer it in. You couldn't just, like...
Yeah, it would have hit me more viscerally if she fucking, like, if it was just a rod or something, you know? Like, I know it sounds like a small gripe, but it's the end of the movie. It's like the last thing. Mm-hmm. Was supposed to have, like, the full impact. Other thing, like, second watch, like, the intro. It bugged me in the theater, too. But, like, you know, we're here to talk about it. Like, I love the fucking intro. But, like, and the dude, like, he's singling out these guys that he knows are dirtbags and have killed innocent people. So he's justifying it that way. Mm-hmm. Kyle Gallner. He's had a great fucking year, by the way, between this. He's in it very briefly, but, and Strange Darling.
Yeah.
So his idea is to fucking kill this guy in front of this dude that he knows is an armed fucking felon. Like, did you not think he's going to open fire on you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that one, it's like, at least tie him up or something.
Yeah, I think he was in too much of a rush. He had, was like,
desperation.
He had minutes point, before right? He was probably going to be.
Yeah, that got, makes sense. He's not really thinking clearly.
And that as he's walking through the yard and he sees that burning that's person. Fucking, dope. Fucking rad, man.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, and it just goes over there real quick.
Yeah.
And it's like...
He's like, nope, not going to look at it. Not going to look at it.
And then, like, dude, he runs out of the house. And, again, it's like a jump scare, quotation marks. It's fucking... The car fucking hits
him. He gets clobbered, man.
And it's just, like, the relentless pace is set from there. And then it, like, drags across the fucking road. And you see all that dope-ass gore.
Yeah.
Dope.
A lot of car accident stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I want to see another one. I want to see more, but...
I want him to take his time. Like, this is... It's too good. I don't want it to fail.
Don't Black Mirror this.
I want this guy to keep doing horror because he's really good in being inventive with what he does with his craft, but also I want to see what he's capable of outside the genre.
Well, do you know what he's signed on to do next?
No.
A remake of Possession.
Fuck.
Not kidding. Which Jorge still has not seen.
Oh my god, I'm almost okay with that.
I'm almost okay. I'm curious because it can be, look, like one thing that Suspiria like proves to me is you can, you know, like remaking Dario Argento's Suspiria sounds very fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie, they're very different movies, but you know what I mean?
It proves that like he thought of something that no one could even fathom. That type of tone and style that he did. Yeah. He really did the whole inverse of the original Suspiria.
Yeah.
And you could probably do it with Possession. You could do all sorts of things.
You could put your own stamp on it. Mm-hmm. and modernize it. Because it is...
Lee Wan L with
there the are certain things. Like, yeah. I'm not anti-remake. Like,
yeah. No, me either.
You know, I'm anti... get away from her, you bitch.
There it is. There you go. Hey, at least he's self fucking buzzing himself.
But yeah, it's ripe for a fucking remake, and also for a more accessible, broader, like universal version, because it's fucking a great premise. It's about a horrible, horrible divorce and all this fucked up shit going on during it. Like, that's great. Mm-hmm. We need more movies like that. Anyway,
he could definitely tackle trauma, so he's got no issues handling the shit in Possession.
Yeah, will it be as artsy? No. Like, no. I don't see, what can be? I don't know. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And the casting's got to be fucking so good with that. You can't fuck up a casting with
that. Yeah, that's fucking ballsy. Oh, he signed on. Someone signed on to do it already. I can Google it, but what else, Jacob?
Fuck, Smile 2. Well, shit, no, we already talked about the score. I don't know, man. I saw it weeks ago, so it's not as... I don't have a fresh viewing like you did, but...
Robert Pattinson will be producing and starring in the Possession remake. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's the Sam Neill.
Yeah, dude. That's fucking dope.
I mean, so far, so good.
Or he's the squid. You know, I don't know. We'll see, man.
All right. Dang.
So, in all three of our either top three or top five.
That's wild. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, that's what I mean, dude. The movie, I don't know. Even, like, you know, if you want the Terrifier 3 crowd, like, if you want to, I don't know how you're going to hate on this.
Yeah.
Like, it goes fucking hard.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for, like, a surprise hit. You know, around this time last year, Demian Rugna, or Rugna, he came
when
out.
Evil Lurks.
When Evil Lurks came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, you instantly get hyped when you saw what, you know, he did Terrified. You know, I'm waiting for that. I'm curious to know. Like, we got Nosferatu, obviously. That's the big one we're all looking forward to. But I want to know what's going to be the surprise one.
The big indie breakouts this year, I think, already happened.
I don't think I've seen a single yet.
The Substance and Strange
Delay. That's it? Okay. We've seen that.
Yeah, and they're fucking... I think it just happened at different times. But I hear you. Like, you know, in years past, there's been the... And they're, you know, we got a month. But... It better come out soon. But dude, The Devil's Bath is still one like fucking.
Yeah, those are ones I gotta watch before the year end for sure.
I haven't seen Oddity.
Oh,
I know you said that was good.
Oh, you guys gotta check that out.
I'd really recommend Devil's Bath to you guys for the year end thing. Fucking yeah. There's a few more I want to watch. That Mads was fucking. I really liked that. That's okay. On Shudder. But
all right.
Terrifier 3 next, Jorge?
Fuck. Yeah, I guess so.
We'll see. We'll figure it out.
All right. Well, that's it for episode 427. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Reed.
Later, idiots.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive. Never get out of this world alive.